identity.
All right. How many's ready to walk in your identity? Are you ready to walk in that? Come on, put your hands together. Say, I'm ready to walk in my identity. We are learning here that we are no longer going to be Christian chameleons who just adapt to the environment they're in. Too many Christians, we live our life that way and have lived our life that way. When we're at work, we're one way. When we're at school, we're another way. When we're around our family, we're another way. I mean, but we're learning that, you know what? Who God says I am is who I am. And I'm learning that that fact is solid. That God calls me as a Christian. God calls me the child of God, the sons of God, and that I am secure. We have been predestined to be adopted and as children of God. And today we are learning that identity in God. Man, it's changing us. We're not going to let everybody else change us. We're going to walk secure. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. Today we're going to talk about that. I am blessed. Whether you know it or not today, if you're a Christian, you've accepted the power of the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, and made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today, you are blessed. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't feel blessed today. I'm going through a really rough season in my life. I'm here to tell you, you are blessed. You're blessed going. You're blessed coming. You're blessed today. Every season of your life, you are blessed if you're a child of God. It's our identity. Let's jump right into our lead text today in Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis, the first chapter in the Bible, the first chapter in the first chapter. The first thing God says to us, to Adam and look what he says when God's created now. Remember, God's created the heavens and the earth, the light and the darkness, all the creatures. He's done all this, and now he's created man, and look what he commands to them. Then God said, blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Look at what he says, man, we're to have dominion over the fish of the sea. Any fisherman say amen to that. And over the birds of the air and over all the other living things that moves on the earth. To all you deer hunting widows today who you lost your husband to the woods this month, I say he's just filling out the commands of the Lord. They have dominion over Bambi's mom and dad. Okay, so there we have it. God called Adam. He said, you are blessed. You are blessed. He blessed them. And then God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. It's the very first thing we see that God says to man, that we are blessed. I don't just receive blessing, it's who I am. See, we think a blessing is something we receive. I'm going to go to church to get a blessing. Oh, that person was a blessing to me. And we use that in our verbiage a lot when it comes to God, when it comes to our relationship with God. But I want you to know it goes much deeper than receiving a blessing. That you, as a part of your identity, you are blessed. I am blessed. You are blessed. We are blessed. Now, come on, say it out loud one more time. I am blessed. I am blessed. One more time. I am blessed. It is who we are. We are blessed people. It's who God says we are. God blessed us. Let's pick it back up now. Let's talk about the blessing. We see a pattern where Jesus showed this pattern of blessing in Luke chapter 9. We see this whole story unfold where Jesus is out teaching on the hillside. Remember all the thousands and thousands of people who went out to listen to him. He's out there teaching all day long. Finally, his disciples are like, listen, Jesus, these people are hungry. They're getting cranky. And by the time they get back home, it's going to be so late and there's nothing left to buy food or get anything to open. These people are going to be starving and be mad. And my mother-in-law, she's got sugar diabetes and she don't eat. She got to eat. And so Jesus says, well, bring me what you have. And we see the story unfold where they found a little, all they could find out of these thousands and thousands and thousands of people, all they could find was a little boy who was smart enough to bring his lunch. How many of the little boys are smart enough to bring their lunch? The little boys in our house like to take everybody else's lunch and take it to school with them. True story. Why didn't you have a sandwich? Why didn't you give me a sandwich today, Mom, and my lunch? I did. They come to find out. Little brother takes the sandwich out and puts it in his bag, so he has two sandwiches. So little brother wants to get blessed already. Yeah, yeah. So we see this principle unfolding here. We see where they brought the five loaves and the two fish to Jesus. And they want to bless it and give it to Jesus. And so Jesus takes this. And we see a pattern unfolding here. See, many times we see here that we want God to bless by adding more. God, can you give me this? God, I need this. God, can you supply this? And we link our blessing to things we don't have. We link the blessing of God to things we want and things we think we need. When all reality, let me tell you, God doesn't want to bless you with something new. He wants to bless what you already have. Woo, that's going to preach this morning right now. Let that sink in. God doesn't always want to bless us with something new. He wants to bless what you already have. See, the blessing didn't come by God bringing something new. The blessing came when someone gave up what they already had. And then that produced a pattern. God took it. He blessed it. He broke it. Then he gave it. God took it. He blessed it. He broke it. Then he gave it. You see, God takes things that we give him, and he blesses it with it. How many of us are holding on to things, wanting God to bless our marriage, to bless our job, to bless our finances, to bless our family, to bless our relationships, and we're hanging on to things, and we're never giving it up to God? If I want God to bless my marriage, I can say, God, this marriage is yours. I die to myself, and I give it to you. If I want God to bless my finances, I can say, God, I'm giving you my finances. It belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. God, I want you to bless my family. God, my children, they belong to you. They don't belong to me. God, bless my work. God, I'm going to do this job as unto the Lord himself. God, this job is yours. It doesn't belong to me. I'm just stewarding what you've given to me, and God, I give it back to you. When I give it back to the Lord, God then can bless it and break it and be given away. And God wants to multiply. God multiplies things that we give to him. And we are blessed. That's who we are. See, God is waiting on us to give him what I have so that he can bless it. God is waiting on us to give him what I have so he can bless it. Quit asking God to give you something more when you won't give him what you already have. Woo, all right, that'll preach now. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you. I know he's not preaching to me. He's got to be preaching to you. God is waiting on us to give him what I have so he can bless it. We have to give him our marriage, our family, our business. We give him every part. God, this is your business. This is your thing. He blessed it. He broke it. Then he gave it out. He blessed it. He broke it. And then he gave it out. See, if God is breaking you, if God is breaking you, then you've already been blessed. Some of you are feeling like you're being broken right now. Some of you feel like you're going through a broken season. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going through a broken season, if you already feel like you're being broken, then congratulations, God has already blessed you. Because he blesses you, then he breaks you. And let me give this insight to you right now. The breaking is not to break you. The breaking is really not to break you. The breaking is to make you. He doesn't break us to break us. He breaks us to make us, to mold us, to reshape us, to iron out the things in our life he wants us to get rid of. Wrong priorities, bad habits, things he's trying to do, wrong attitudes, pride, selfishness, self-indulgence, all these things that he's wanting to do in us, he breaks us so that when he gives us out, we're blessed and ready to go. So he blesses us, he breaks us. Then he gives us out. We're blessed. We're blessed people. It comes first. And just because you're being broke today, just because you feel like you're at your breaking point today, I want you to realize you're already blessed today. You may be at your breaking point today, and I'm here to declare to your heart and to your spirit today, you may be at your breaking point, but God has already blessed you. And he's just preparing you for a different season. God's preparing you to be given away. See, look at this again in Genesis 1:28. We just read it. Let's look at it again. Then God blessed them. This is significant right here. Then God blessed them. Because before then, what did God give to them? God created the heavens and the earth. He gave them the sun and the moon, the stars. He gave them light and day. He gave them the land. He gave them the creatures of the land. He gave them the swimming things that they can go fishing, man. They gave all these things. The water. He gave them everything they needed. Everything they could have needed at that time to survive, he had already supplied to them, correct? And after he gave all those things to them, then God blessed them. Which signifies to you and I that the blessing is not in those things. The blessing is not in the things we think of as blessing. The blessing is really not in food and shelter and what kind of car I drive and how much money is in my account. The blessing is not really in how big my house is or what's going on. The blessing is not in those things. Those things are privileges, and those things can come and those things will go. Seasons come and seasons go. It doesn't make a difference. The blessing is not in that. The blessing comes before that ever happens. And you got to realize that the blessing is not attached to things. The blessing is attached to the blessor who's already called you blessed. That is the blessing that God has already, he said, then God blessed them. He's already given them what they needed. And then he blessed them, put his hand upon them, said, this is favor coming to you, the blessing of God. God was unlocking something in them. Things don't make us blessed. Look at this in Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of the Lord makes a person rich. The blessings of the Lord make a person rich. Not the other way around. Not the things make a person rich. The blessings of the Lord makes a person rich. And the rich is not what we think of. It's not the rich in account. It's the blessing that makes us rich. The blessings is what makes us rich. It's not the things that make us rich. It's not what we have in Romans 14:17. Look what it says again right here. For the kingdom of God is not the eating and drinking. It's not these things that we think we need to survive. But the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God, those who are blessed, we have been accounted to us righteousness. We have been made in right standing with God. That alone means you're blessed. If you have accepted Jesus Christ and the cross, the work of the cross, then you have been accounted to you righteousness. And you've been accounted to you joy. It's been accounted to you peace. That's why you can stand before God in your identity and say, I am blessed because he has accounted to me righteousness. He's given me peace that will pass all understanding. He's given me a joy. That way when things come and things go, my joy don't come and go with things. Because this world didn't give it to me. Come on now. And the world can't take it away. We know this because our joy is not found in the things. Our joy is found in the blessor. And so when this takes a hold of your identity, when this changes who you are, it sets you free to realize, I'm blessed. I am blessed. I can really say this. I am blessed. The blessing is not on the things. The blessing is on us. So if I have an abundance, I am blessed. And if I don't have anything, I'm still blessed. Because the abundance is not my sign of blessing. My sign of blessing is I have been counted to me righteousness, joy, and peace. That God himself has blessed us. The blessing is on you. The blessing is in you. When you let that revelation sink into your heart, into your spirit, you realize the blessing is not, it's not only the favor on your life. The blessing is not the favor on your life, but the favor on your life because of your blessed. The blessing is not the favor on my life. The blessing is the favor follows me because I'm blessed. I remember one time in college, I took over a retail store that was about to go under. And they were just thinking about closing the doors on the place. He was losing money. And he said, man, will you temporarily take over the store for me? And I was in college, and so I took over as a manager of the store. And as I managed that store, every month we had a gain. Every month we had a sales increase. And we gained every month and over the numbers of the past, and we broke every record. And finally, the owner came to me, and he had several stores. He goes, I got to know, what's the secret sauce here, Gene? What are you doing? What's the secret? And yes, there are certain things you can do to improve presentation and sales, you know, but that wasn't the secret sauce. And I simply remember for the first time God had showed me something, and I was just learning to give my life and surrender everything fully to God. And I stood up with boldness, and the Holy Spirit dropped this in my heart. And I remember I just had this revelation come to me, and for the first time I looked at my owner. I said, let me tell you what the secret sauce is. It's that I'm blessed. And God's going to show favor to the store because you put me in charge here. Because you put me in charge, God's going to bless your store. And this store is going to succeed because God's put me in charge. He looked at me like I was crazy. He's like, I don't care what it is. You just keep on doing it. You know, and it's the same. Look, man, crazy. Look at this. Think about Joseph, man. Joseph was put into the pit. He was put into prison. Sold as a slave to Potiphar's house. But everywhere he went, the favor of God followed him. It didn't make a difference where he was, what they tried to do to him. He succeeded everywhere he was at. When he was sold out of the pit, he rose to power in Potiphar's house. When he was lied about and put into prison, he rose into power over all the prison. And he left in one day from the prison to second in command over the palace because the favor of God was following him. He was a blessed person. You got to realize the blessing is not the things around me. The blessing is because of who I am inside of me. And if I walk in that blessing, I'm going to allow my circumstances to affect my identity, whether I'm in the pit, the prison, Potiphar's house, or the palace. I know that I'm blessed because God has already blessed me. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. And we see this thing following us here. It's the revelation that favor follows me because I'm blessed, but favor is not the blessing. It's just a byproduct of being blessed. The blessing that God has enabled me to prosper. See, the blessing is that God has enabled me to prosper, that whatever I put my hand to do, when I do it as unto the Lord, shall prosper. And that's the favor that follows my life. I am blessed. If you don't believe me, look at Genesis chapter 9:1. We see the same principle here. God, this is Adam in the garden. Now he's destroyed the world with the flood. He's starting over again with Noah and his family. And look what the first thing he tells Noah. And does to Noah, 9:1. So God did what? Blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Didn't we just see this in chapter 1? Same thing. God starting over. He says, I'm blessing you. The blessing is there before they ever do anything else. The blessing is there. Look at it in Genesis 35. Verses 9 and 10. Remember, Jacob was running for his life. He had lied to his family. He deceived his brother out of his birthright. He's been on the run, afraid his brother's going to kill him. Now God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram. That's a good name, isn't it? Padan Aram. And that's like a good name for a group, wouldn't it? Padan Aram. Okay. And blessed him. Everybody say, blessed him. Sorry, I have ADD. Sometimes it happens to me. Padan Aram, and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel. This shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. See, we see something here where he had been a deceiver. Jacob meant deceiver, liar. He had lied, deceived his way. He begins to wrestle with God. He wants God to bless him and change him. God blesses him first. And then God changes his name. God blesses Jacob, who had lied and deceived. He blesses him. And then he says, now I'm going to call you the Son of God. Prince of God. Israel is your name. So God takes him from a deceiver name, blesses him, and then changes who he is. See, before God can change us, he's got to bless us. But because God has blessed us, we can change. So some of you here, you're thinking, will I ever change? Can things ever change in my life? If you'll ever tap into the notion, I have been blessed, and God wants to bless me, he can bless me, and he can change my destiny. He can change my family. He can change my outlook, my attitude. He can change my business. He can change the way I'm a husband. He can change the way I am a wife. He can change the way I live my life. But why? Because when God changes me, he blesses me, he can change me. And he can make the drastic changes in our life. But it comes because I am blessed. I am blessed. Let's keep looking at this principle. He empowers us, the blessing that empowers us to change. Luke 1:28. Remember Mary, before she was pregnant, the first encounter with the angel. Look what the angel said to her. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Then once he say, blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among women. Let me ask you, time out right here. Was Mary already pregnant by the Holy Spirit when this happened? No, she wasn't. Her womb was empty. Then the angel appears to her and says, but you are blessed right now. And later on, you're going to conceive by the Holy Spirit and you're going to give birth to the Savior. But before she ever had that promise fulfilled in her womb, before she ever had that promise fulfilled in her womb, God looked at her and said, you are blessed. Some of you are walking around with your womb empty, both figuratively and also spiritually. You got things you're wanting God to impregnate you with. You're wanting things to happen in your life. You get broken promises, things unfulfilled. And you say, God, when are you going to bless me? When you can tap into the fact that you have already been blessed, and then that opens the gate for God to impregnate you with the promise to come in the future. But you got to realize right now, in this season, God, you have blessed me. God, you have set my feet upon the rock. God, you have blessed me. She was blessed first, then she was impregnated later. The promise came later. I dare somebody to praise him before you ever get pregnant. I dare someone to praise you before you ever see the promise come fulfilled. I dare you to say, I'm blessed no matter what. I'm blessed before that job ever opens up to me. I'm blessed before my marriage ever comes back together. I'm blessed before my kids ever return home. I'm blessed before I ever get that raise. I'm blessed already. And God, I'm going to worship you in that. I'm going to walk in that because I've been blessed. And allow to see if it does not unlock a new chain of events in your life. Are you getting anything out of this today? Is this good for you? All right, turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you today. Notice one thing we see in the text. None of these stories we've read, none of the texts we see, have we ever seen this where it says, well, Mary felt blessed. Noah felt blessed. Adam felt blessed. Joseph, I'm sure, didn't feel blessed when he was in the pit. And I'm sure he didn't feel blessed when they threw him in prison and lied against him. I'm sure he didn't feel blessed. The feelings are not feelings of feeling blessed. See, because our blessing and the reason we're blessed is not based on our feelings. It's based upon fact. Look at this illustration here. I think this is a good way to understand it. We have the facts, the faith, and the feelings. It's like a train. We have the locomotive here who's leading the train. This becomes the facts. The faith is in the middle car, and then the feelings is the caboose. See, the facts are what? The facts are what God says. What his word says about me, those things are fact. Who God says I am, those things are solid. What God's word says about me, that's the facts. And when I allow my faith to line up with the facts, and say, come on, feelings, you're following us. We're going this way. We're going to where God says we are. And then I can go where God's trying to take me. I can turn where God's trying to take me. God, because why? My faith is not in my feelings. My faith is in the fact of who God says I am. I'm down here right now. But you know what? God, you says I'm up there. God, you say I'm blessed. God, you say I'm a son of God. God, you say I'm a child of God. God, you say I'm redeemed. God, you say I'm blessed and highly favored. All right, come on. Come on, feelings, we're getting there right now. Let's go. See, too many of us, we try to let our feelings dictate to us where we're going. And that makes no more sense than letting the caboose lead the train. It doesn't happen. No, you got to put your faith in the facts and then let your feelings, come on, feelings, whether I feel like it or not, this is where we're going. So how does this revelation today, how does this revelation that I'm already blessed in my life affect me? I want to give you some practical things today before we close. Four things to give you before we close today. How does this revelation apply to my life tomorrow when I get up? Number one, when you realize you're blessed, it eliminates desperation. It eliminates desperation. See, blessed people are not desperate. Blessed people are not desperate. When you realize you're blessed, you're not desperate. When you're desperate, you make unwise decisions. When you live in a spirit of desperation, you do things you wouldn't normally do. Let me give you some more practical application to this. Anybody single in the house? Anybody single in the house? Anybody looking for a man or a woman? Hallelujah, hallelujah, come on. DestinyDating.com. We got it right now, all right? See, when you're desperate, it will cause you to settle. It will cause you to do the compromise and settle for something in this season that you think makes you happy but may not be for the next season in your life. But when you know you're blessed and that's gotten sunk into your mind, into your heart, and it's got a revelation, God, I am blessed. I am not desperate. it causes me to pursue him and say, God, I'm going to pursue you. And the more I pursue you, then you'll bring somebody who's attracted to a woman of God. You'll bring somebody who's attracted to a man of God who's not desperate to try to use tricks of the trade to capture a man or to capture a woman. No, I'm going to pursue God. I'm not desperate. Ooh, I'm preaching this morning right now. I am not desperate. See, when I walk desperate, I make unwise decisions. I compromise my values. I've been there, you've been there. We compromise and we do things. But when you get a blessed mentality, it says, you know what? It eliminates this out of my life that I'm desperate. Number two, it conquers fear in my life. When I realize I'm blessed, it helps me conquer fear. We know Scripture is very clear. It tells us all throughout, cover to cover, you'll find it over 365 times that we are not to fear. We are not to walk in a spirit of intimidation and fear. And when you can get this, that I'm blessed, it helps you conquer fear in your life. Look at this story in Job 1:10. Remember when Satan was really wanting to attack Job, and God's like, hey, consider my servant Job, man, this guy, he's great. Think you can make this guy fail? So here's Satan and God having this conversation about how Satan wants to knock off Job and make him fall and give up and rebuke God. And God's like, well, consider Job then. Go for it. Take your best shot. And Satan says, I already have. Look what he says here. He goes, I've already tried. Have you not made a hedge around him? Around his household? Around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and the possessions have increased in the land. That should give you right there realizing this is the relationship going on between us and the Father. When you know that you are blessed and you're a child of God, that God wraps around you a hedge of protection. And the only way Satan can get in is if God gives him permission. And if God gives him permission to come in, there's something he's taking you through it so he can bring you out on the other side looking better. There's something he's wanting to do through the process to teach you, to mold you, to break you, so that he can remake you into the person he's calling you to be. We have a hedge of protection around us. We are blessed people. When you walk in the blessing, you walk secure, it conquers fear. And number three, when you realize you're blessed, it jumpstarts my generosity. It does. It makes me more of a generous person. It makes me more aware that, God, you called me to be generous with the things you've given me. Look what Genesis 12:2 says when God was blessing Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Listen, God didn't bless you and I. He didn't bless us so we can walk around blessed. He blessed us so we can walk around being a blessing. This is my identity. I am blessed so that I can be a blessing to others. I've been blessed so I can be a blessing to somebody else. God, who else can I show the favor of the Lord to? Who else can I show your grace and mercy to? Who else can I come along and help beside? Who else can I come along and support? Who else can I come along and affirm and let them know you love them and care for them? It unlocks generosity in my life. God, the favor of the Lord's upon me. The more I give it to you, the more you bless it, break it, and give it out. I've used this statement before. I think it fits here this morning. If God can get it to us, he will get it through us. He'll get it to us, right? If God can get it through us, he'll get it to us. I want to be a channel of blessing to God. You get it to me so I can get it out. God, I want you to bless me more so I can be a blessing to more people. Are you following me? That's the heart of the mature believer. It's not God bless me more so I can brag about how big this is or how much I've achieved, but God bless me more so I can be a blessing more. That's the mark of maturity. Of the blessed believer, the both who are blessed. And it helps you conquer your fears, your desperation, and it jumpstarts in us that, you know what, God, everything I have belongs to you. It causes me to be more generous. And number four, the last thing, it increases my appreciation. It increases my appreciation. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son went to his dad who had a wealthy ranch. You know, and he's like, hey, Dad, I want my inheritance early. Took his inheritance early on, took it out, partied it all away, gambled it all away, spent it on prostitutes and gambling and drugs, did all these things, and he's wasted all of his money, found himself living, feeding the pigs, and finally came to a census and came home and said, man, I just come home and ask my dad if I can at least just work as a servant. I can live better. I'm living now. And he practices his big speech, comes home to his dad. Before he can ever ask his dad to forgive him, his dad runs and meets him. He kisses him, throws around the robe around him of royalty, gives him the ring, the family ring, so he can go out. It's like having a family Visa card. He can just go out and just buy what he wants. He puts around him the new shoes on his feet. He says, hey, take the calf. Kill the calf. We're going to have a party tonight. My son has returned home. And the older son is watching all this, and he's like, this isn't fair. This is so unfair. I've been here working with my dad this whole time. I didn't ask for my inheritance early. I didn't go off and party. I wasn't out spending all my money on these stupid things. And he's getting a party, and I'm not getting my party. He's over crying about a party. And this father goes to the son and says, son, don't forget. You're crying about a party, but let me tell you this. You're already living in paradise. Everything I have is already yours. Everything you need has already been provided to you. Everything. You're living at the palace already, man. You're already experiencing this. So quit crying about the party. Quit crying about the party. Quit. Say, you know what? I appreciate that, God, you've already given me everything I need. God, you've already blessed me. Don't be upset when God blesses somebody else with a favor. They're going through a season of highly favored. And they're blessing their business or blessing their family or blessing their home. God, you didn't bless mine. No, it's all yours. It's ours. It's been given to us. See, when I realize I'm already blessed, it increases my appreciation of my relationship with the Father. Let's say it one more time. Say, I am blessed. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am blessed. We are blessed. Let me ask you just to bow your heads real fast. And I want to ask you a personal question today before we go any further. If you hear, say, Pastor, you're talking about being blessed, but before I can be blessed, I've realized, first of all, I just need to give my heart to Jesus. I've never given my heart to Jesus today. I never asked him to be Lord of my life. And today, there's something going on inside of me. I'm not sure what it is, but I feel compelled. There's something pulling at my spirit. And I realize today that I need to give my life to Jesus. We won't do anything to embarrass you or single you out, but want to make sure you have a chance to respond. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand if you never did it before and you want to do it today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Thank you. One more time, if you haven't raised your hand, you said to me, I want to accept Jesus today. Raise it right now where I can see it. Thank you. Thank you, guys. All right. Let's say this prayer. If you raise your hand, I want you to say it out loud. And as Christians around you, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I give you all of my life. I give you everything. All of my sin, I give to you. All of my dreams, I give you everything. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to family, God. Come on, put your hands together, man. That's awesome. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, it's just the beginning of a journey. And that journey starts when you say, you know what? I'm going to get connected to a family of God. If you don't have a church home, get connected here. We'd love to have you here. We'd love to help you find a group that you can get connected to because you need people around you to help support you on your new decision. We have a free Bible for you today. If you leave, stop by the back and tell them, say, I'd like to receive my free Bible. Inside there, it's got some more information on next things you need to do next, okay? How many today as you stand to your feet and say, Pastor, I want to walk blessed. I want the spirit of blessed to get into my life today. So I want you to do. I want you to get up tomorrow when you look yourself in the mirror, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're shaving guys, when you're putting your makeup on ladies, doing your hair, whatever. Look in the mirror and declare, say, I am blessed. I am blessed. All right, tell yourself, I am blessed. We're going to close with this song today. If you're blessed today, you want to step into that blessing, I invite you, come out of your seats, join me around the front today as we declare that he's the Lion and the Lamb. Let's let it ring this morning. Let's walk and we are blessed. Thank you. Yeah, come on, we got a hand clap and praise. Let's raise our hands one more time. I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you. But I thank you as you blessed us, God, even when we're going through a broken season, God, that you bless us, you break us, and then prepare us to be given away. God, I thank you, Lord, today that, God, we are blessed. And I just pray to Father that this message, Lord, would sink into our heart. That, Lord, we would get up tomorrow saying we are blessed. And walking, no matter if it's a good season or a tough season or a very difficult season, that, God, there is a new revelation that, God, we are blessed. And it has nothing to do with our circumstances around us or the things you've given us. But, God, it's about the blessing that's come on in the side of us, the thing that's happening inside of us. So, God, I pray this revelation would unlock in us a new freedom, eliminating fear and doubt. Generosity and appreciation would overflow out of us, God. And we thank you today. Come on, one more time. Put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Now, listen, before you leave today, first of all, let me tell you how much I love you. Love you very, very much. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, I need you to help me stack up all these rows of chairs. And stacks about six in each stack, about six chairs in each stack. And then maybe a couple guys want to grab the dollies out the back and help push all those chairs around the front of the stage here. We appreciate that, okay? God bless you. Thank you very, very much. We'll see you at 5 o'clock, guys.